often we think of Moses as being a great leader, and sometimes Joshua, who came right after him, is kind of set on the back burner. Sometimes we don't focus on him as much as we could. But I'd like to read the first few verses of Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. It says, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, and you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the land which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.'" Joshua, sometimes we forget all of the things that he did at the beginning of his job that he had to do. God is directly telling him three times, "Be strong and courageous." He goes in and he conquers the Canaan land, and all of the stories that we know of where they take down Jericho and they go and invade Ai and where the sun stands still. Joshua was the leader of the Canaanites, the Israelites, during this time. And he was the one that went in and conquered all this land and took it from the giants and all of these things. And then at the end of his life, at the end of Joshua, Joshua chapter 24, he calls the Israelites together to talk to them. And he says in verse 15, "If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day who you will serve, whether the gods for which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And that's what my lesson is going to be on tonight, is serving the Lord, deciding who you will choose. Joshua was given at the beginning the words of encouragement to be strong and have good courage. And I believe those two things are not coincidental. Those who choose to serve the Lord are going to need to be strong and courageous. So I'd like to look at an example of someone who was strong and courageous. Let's go to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. I'm going to read the verses 3 through 20 and then make some comments on it. I believe we're mostly familiar with this story, but there's some things that I want to point out that are good, and it's good for our review. Starting in verse 3, "Then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had the ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time they might serve before the king. Now from among these of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them the chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego." So let me pause here for a second. First of all, we have four young men who were taken out of their country away from their families, away from their homes. They're brought to a new land with a new king. They're given new names. Everything is completely new. Everything's different from what they've been accustomed to. And here it says that the king is trying to give them these delicacies and these things which they know that they're not supposed to be taking. So they're confronted with a choice. Do we serve God as we've been, or do we give in to what the king is commanding us? And continuing on in verse 8, it says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." And here's a very key point. It says that Daniel purposed in his heart. To purpose in our heart is not something that we just think about all of a sudden and say, oh, you know what, I just made a decision, I purposed in my heart, and this is what I'm going to do. We're told that when we give on Sundays to purpose in our heart. And I think it has more of a meaning of making a conscious mental decision beforehand. This year, in order for Daniel to purpose in his heart, he had to train his mind and prepare himself and say, when I'm faced with the ability to choose God or to choose someone else, I'm going to choose God because it's the right thing to do, no matter what. And it's also past tense. He purposed in his heart. It's something that he had done. It wasn't something he just all of a sudden decided to do. So when it came time for him to eat, it says that he asked that he might not eat this. In verse 9 it says, "Now God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, 'I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your food and drink, for why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are at your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king.' So Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, 'Please test your servants for 10 days, and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be examined before you, and the appearance of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacies. And as you see fit, so deal with your servants.' So he consented with them in this matter and tested them 10 days. So Daniel sees an alternative. He doesn't just say, no, I won't do it. And he doesn't give in. Instead, he finds an alternative and he says, let's have a test and just give me the kind of food that I'm allowed to eat. And after 10 days, we'll see how I look. Because this guy's life is at stake. He's asking this guy to do something, the chief of the eunuchs, to do something that could get him possibly killed. So it's a brave thing for both of them to do. And then we know the rest of the story in the remaining verses. He let him do that, and at the end of the 10 days, they looked better, they looked healthier than all the people who were eating these things. And so he's able to overcome this, and he doesn't have to eat the meat, and is able to eat vegetables. Then in verse 17 it says, "And as for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days, when the king had said that they should not be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Then the king interviewed them, and among them none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore they served before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in his realm." So here Daniel chooses, he purposes in his heart to serve God, and we see that God blesses him. Not only does he allow him to continue to serve him in a way that allows everyone to be happy, but he also gives him the ability to interpret dreams and to be wise, to the point where that even the king is impressed that he can't find anybody else that's comparable. And so God blesses Daniel and his friends for doing this, for serving God. A couple of things we might want to think about are the kinds of friends that Daniel chose to to allow himself to be, to serve God. He could have chosen new friends, but he stuck with it seems like these four group of people were kind of mentioned together, like they bonded. And our friends have a big influence on us. So if you're hanging out with the people who have the same values as you, it's much easier to choose to serve God when you need to than if he was hanging out with these other people who were just eating whatever like the king had asked. I was thinking the couple of verses this reminded me of was in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. It says, all things work together for those who love God. This sermon's kind of a continuation of some of the thoughts I had to say on Wednesday night. And Daniel was presented with an obstacle, and he chose to serve God, and God made it work out for him. Let's continue reading over in chapter 2. If we look at verses 27 and 28, it says, Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers cannot declare to the king. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed were these. And he goes on to explain. So Daniel interprets the king's dream. He uses the wisdom that God has blessed him with. And not only does he do that, but he also remembers to give glory to God for these things. It says, he doesn't just say, oh yeah, King, I'm the guy, I can interpret that dream for you, I've gotten pretty good at that. He says, there's a God in heaven who's given me this ability, and so God will tell me what to say to you. And so he gives credit to God, and again, God blesses him. We look down in verses 47 and 48. Says, the king answered Daniel and said, truly your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, since you could reveal this secret. Then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, and chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylon. So God just continues to bless Daniel for his service to him. In the next chapter, chapter 3, let's look at verse 12. It says, there are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. So there's always people who are after Christians and those who are following God that are going to try to find a way to get you to stumble or to find a way to cause harm to you. And in this case, it's against Daniel's friends. They had this gold image set up and asked people to bow down before it. And so here, Daniel's been tested, and now it's his friend's turn. They're being tested, and these people come to the king and say, hey, these three over here, they're not listening to you. They're not doing worship in this like you said. Down in verse 17, it says, if that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. So here, this isn't one of those opportunities like Daniel had to come up with some kind of an alternative solution of just trying some kind of a test or something. Here, they had to say, yes, we will bow down, or no, we will not bow down. And they blatantly told the king, they said, we will not worship any other god but the Lord. And so Nebuchadnezzar gets mad. He heats up the furnace 7 times hotter, and he throws them in. Down in verses 25 and 26, it says, after they got thrown in the furnace, look, he answered, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire. And so here, for their service to God, he rewards them and saves them. And notice that in this verse, the king actually recognizes their service to God. He says in verse 27, or 26, I'm sorry. Verse 26, he calls them by name and he says, servants of the Most High God. So even the king at this point is recognizing that these men are truly serving God and that God's blessing them and watching out for them. Let's go over now to chapter 6, Daniel chapter 6. The focus again turns from Daniel's friends back to Daniel. And this is where Daniel was praying. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 3, it says, then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So here Daniel's being considered for a promotion. Things are going well for him. But again, like I said before, there's always going to be people who are looking to bring you down. And Daniel's getting blessed by God so much he's to the point where he's getting over some of those higher officials, and they're getting envious and wanting to bring him down. And so in verse 10 we see, or not in verse 10, in the preceding verses there, they go to the king and they try to find a way to get Daniel in trouble. And they realize that Daniel was innocent, that he'd done nothing wrong. And so they knew the only way that they could get him in trouble was if it had something to do with the law of God and the way that he worshipped God. So they set up the decree where nobody was supposed to pray, knowing that Daniel did that on a daily basis. So in verse 10 it says, now Daniel knew that the writing was signed, and he went home, and in his upper room with the windows open looked toward Jerusalem. He knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since the early days. So Daniel knew that this could cause problems, and he didn't even try to hide it. He didn't go and hide in a closet and close the door and say, you know, I know this law's in effect, but I'm going to try to hide, and I'm still doing the right thing by praying, but I don't want anybody to see me because I don't want to go to jail or anything. He left the window open, and he did it anyway because he knew that it was better to obey God than men. And so he ends up getting in trouble for that. In verses 11 and following, it says, then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter. So they answered and said before the king, that Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree which you have signed, but makes a petition three times a day. And the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. And these men approached the king and said to the king, you know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and the Persians that no decree or statute that the king establishes can be changed. So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring, and with the signets of his lords that he purposed concerning Daniel might not be changed. So the king wanted to save Daniel, but he didn't have a choice. This was something that couldn't be changed. And so he had no choice but to throw Daniel in the den of the lions. But at this point, the king seems to be so... He understands the God that Daniel is serving. And he tells Daniel as he's throwing him in there, I don't want to do this to you, but I know that the God that you serve will protect you. In verses 18 through 23, we know that God shut the mouth of the lions, and he saved Daniel for his service to him again. And note in verse 20, it says, in the morning the king didn't sleep all night. And in verse 20, it says, and he came to the den and cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions. So again, the king himself recognizes that Daniel's serving God and that he would deliver him. And then one other verse in Daniel, verse 28, says, "So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian." So here again, over and over again, we see Daniel and his friends being challenged to serve God or to serve other men. And they continually make the right choice. They stick with God, and God blesses them. But just like Joshua, they also needed to be strong and courageous, and because serving God is not always an easy thing. This might also remind you of Joseph. He had a similar thing where he was constantly serving God and getting promoted, just like Daniel. And then God would bless him. Sometimes he got knocked back down, but God was always watching out for him. Let's look at a couple examples real quick of people who chose not to serve God. Back in Genesis chapter 3, the first people that we have a record of, Adam and Eve, they're in the garden with God. And we know that they ate of the tree, which they were not allowed to eat. God told them, you can do anything you want, you can eat of any tree except for this one. And that worked for a little while, but eventually Eve took of the fruit, and then she gave it to her husband. And, you know, I'm sure that they could have had all kinds of excuses, you know, and they tried them. They said, the devil tempted me and tricked me, and the husband said, well, you know, she gave it to me, and I thought it was okay, or whatever. You can always come up with excuses and try to rationalize your sins or things that you do. But in the end, none of that matters. The only thing that matters is whether or not you chose to serve God. And the devil is good at that. He's good at getting you to compromise just a little bit at a time. He doesn't ask you to eat the whole tree. He just asks you to, you know, smell the, to go walk by the tree of evil. You know, it's just a beautiful tree and you can sit by it. And then the next day, you know, you might just be smelling the apples or looking at them. And maybe the next day you're just admiring them, or you take one off just to play with it. And slowly the devil just gets you to that place where little by little he gets you to compromise. Just like in Psalms 1, where it talks about walking with the in the path of sinners, or walking then sitting and then standing. So walking in the path of sinners and standing with them, and sitting in the seat of the scornful. It's a progression. It doesn't just happen right away. But in the end, what caused them to fall was that they let someone else convince them that what God said was not really what he meant. The devil tried to change Eve's mind and say, God didn't really mean that. He meant something else. And so we need to always remember, when we're serving God, he's the only one that we listen to. We don't listen to anyone else. Also in 1 Kings chapter 13, this is the one other example that I had. 1 Kings chapter 13. I'd like to read verses 11 through 24. This is the story of the false prophet. It says, "Now an old prophet dwelt in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. They also told their father the words which he had spoken to the king. And their father said to him, 'Which way did he go?' For his sons had seen which way the man of God went who came from Judah. Then he said to his sons, 'Saddle the donkey for me.' So they saddled the donkey for him, and he rode on it, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under the oak. Then he said to them, 'Are you the man of God who came from Judah?' And he said, 'I am.' Then he said to him, 'Come home with me and eat bread.' And he said, 'I cannot return with you, nor go in with you, neither can I eat bread or drink water with you in this place. For I have been told by the word of the Lord, you shall not eat bread nor drink water there, nor return by going the way you came in.' He said to him, 'I too am a prophet, as you are, and an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, "Bring him back with you to your house, that he may eat bread and drink water." He was lying to him. So he went back with him and ate bread at his house and drank water. Now it happened as they sat at the table that the word of the Lord came to the prophet who had brought him back. And he cried out to the man of God who came from Judah, saying, Thus says the Lord, because you have disobeyed the word of the Lord and have not kept the commandment which the Lord your God commanded you, but you came back, ate bread, and drank water in the place of which the Lord said to you, Eat no bread and drink no water, your corpse shall not come to the tomb of your fathers. So it was, after he had eaten bread and had drunk, that he saddled the donkey for him, the prophet whom he had brought back. When he was gone, a lion met him on the road and killed him, and his corpse was thrown in on the road, and the donkey stood by it. Then a lion also stood by the corpse. I always felt bad for this man when I'd read this story when I was younger, thinking, man, he was a good guy. He was listening to God, trying to do everything, and because this other guy came in and told him something else, you know, that would seem believable to me, and it didn't make sense for a while. But the fact is, the same thing that happened to him, that happened to Adam and Eve, that he let somebody else convince him that God didn't mean what he really said. God had given him specific instructions to go this way, to not go back the way you came, to not eat or drink, and he let someone else convince him that what God said wasn't what he really meant. Just like Eve was convinced by the devil that what God said wasn't what he really meant. So we need to make sure that we obey God, that we follow him, that we don't listen to other people who tell us differently than what God says. Back in Judges chapter 17, verse 6, it says, because that was in Joshua. Judges 17, verse 6. In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Without a king, there's no leadership. And if everybody just does what they think is right. We have a king. We have God. And he asks us to serve him. But if we don't serve him, or if we let somebody else distract us, then the same thing will happen to us that'll happen to Adam and Eve. Or to the man, the prophet who was turned aside. And we're told in Matthew 6:24 that we can only serve one master, whether it's God or money or ourselves or some other god. Whatever we make it, it's either God or it's someone else. We can only choose one. And Peter said in Acts 5:29, we ought to obey God rather than men. So the question for you is, who will you serve? Will you choose to serve God? If you do, he will bless you. He'll take care of you. It doesn't mean that it'll be an easy choice, just like Daniel and Joseph and all of the other good examples we have. They needed courage. They needed to be brave and strong, because there are going to be people that'll try to tempt us and to get us to change our mind that God didn't really mean what he said he did. But we need to stick with God and to choose him and to follow him. Joshua said, choose for yourselves this day who you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Will you choose today to serve God? If you will, if there's any way that we can help you, if you need to be baptized, or if you already have and need prayers to repent and to continue to serve God, we'd like to help you however we can. Let's stand and sing the song of invitation.